Anandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dathati Satadantika. Welcome back. So we've finished the punishment of Ashwatthama, and now we're moving into chapter 8, prayers by Queen Kunti and Parikshit, saved. The chapter opens with the offering of water to the departed souls who died in the battle. And after performing the rituals, everyone was still overwhelmed with grief. And Krishna, who was there as one of the family members, offered some words to pacify them, Krishna along with some of the munis. Naturally, at such times, one seeks to offer some words of consolation. And they did it by explaining philosophically the position of the living beings as spiritual living beings who are affected by the illusory material energy. And how the living being becomes freed from attachment and becomes situated as Krishna's devotee. The basic philosophy of Krishna consciousness was spoken. Then in summary, the Kauravas had been defeated and they killed for having, especially for the insult to Draupadi, that's described. Gatiyatva sato ragya kachasparsha kshatayusha. Because they insulted Draupadi, their lives were cut short. Then, in the purport, it's significant, Prabhupada describes that before Kali Yuga, the women, children, and old men, and cows, and Brahmins were properly protected. This is essential to Vedic culture. And Prabhupada explains that by protecting the Brahmins, we maintain Varnashram for advancement in spiritual life. By protecting cows, we receive milk for spiritual cultivation. By protecting women, we get a chaste society with good children for peace, tranquility, and progress. By protecting children, we give them the best opportunity for success in human life. And Prabhupada says, beginning from the Garbhadhan Samskar. And by protecting old men, we give them the opportunity to cultivate Krishna consciousness at the end of life and make their life successful. And unfortunately, in Kali Yuga, all of these things are neglected or transgressed. And therefore, that alpayusha, in Kali Yuga, everyone's life is short and full of anxiety. upadrutaha, because they're neglecting these essential principles. Any questions on this or any comments? Important, yes. Yeah, you need a social body needs a head. The Brahmins provide the vision for society. They see that the social body is properly directed, and they see that all the that the proper knowledge is there, so that people know how to be engaged in their occupational duties. Especially, they instruct the kshatriyas. So the kshatriyas, if you're all execution and no vision, you're going to have a problem. Your arms are powerful and you're doing lots of stuff, but you don't know what you're doing. That's bad news. So the Brahmins give the vision for society. And when the right vision is there, you can have social harmony and social tranquility with people properly engaged in their prescribed duties. Okay. Anything else here? Okay. So now, after all of this, at Krishna's direction, Maharaj Yudhisthira performs three Ashwamedha sacrifices very well, and became practically as glorious as King Indra. And then Lord Krishna prepared to leave. He's getting ready to go back home to Dwarka. The war is over. He agreed to serve as charioteer. Now that charioteer business is finished. War is over. Relatives are pacified as far as possible. Funeral ceremonies are over. And now Krishna is going back. And as he's heading back, Uttara comes rushing toward him and begging for his protection, because there's no one else who can save her in this world of duality. And Prabhupada explains that the world of duality is the world where everyone's envious of one another and ultimately envious of Krishna. Then she places before him that now again there's a weapon headed toward her to destroy, this time, her unborn child. Mame garbho nipatyatam. If I'm killed, that's all right, but my child shouldn't be killed. That was her prayer. These days it's the opposite, that somehow I should live and my life will be impaired or impeded or inconvenienced in the presence of my child. So, oh Lord, please help me kill the child. Things are just the opposite in Kali Yuga. But naturally, Uttara was, Prabhupada said she was the daughter of a great king, the king of Virat, and the wife of a great hero, Abhimanyu, student of a great devotee. Maybe that means Arjun, because she was sometimes the student of Arjun. So she was very fortunate in every respect, and she's praying to the Lord. Now, the last remaining child of the Pandava dynasty is in my womb, so please protect this child. So after hearing, Krishna, who's Bhaktivatsal, could at once understand what had happened. Again, it's Abhimanyu, Ashwatthama, throwing a brahmastra to finish off the last remaining heir of the dynasty. So, seeing this, the Pandavas took up their weapons, but Krishna saw that this is not going to do it. These weapons are not enough. They won't be fast enough and capable enough. Prabhupada comments, by the way, that these brahmastras were smart bombs. They were so capable that they could hit a pinpoint target, avoiding everything else. In the Gulf War, the Americans advertised how they had these fantastic weapons that were able to pinpoint the target. From what I'm told, it's actually mostly propaganda, and the weapons were pretty bad, pretty dirty as far as what they could really do. Maybe the specs were one thing, what they were, the specifications said they could do, but what they could actually do was different. They weren't quite so as smart as they advertised. But the brahmastras were absolutely precision. So Krishna saw that this weapon is there, and he at once took his personal weapon, the Sudarshan Chakra, to protect the child, because he's Bhakta Vatsal. He's the well-wisher and friend of his devotees. So, and Prabhupada also mentions that Krishna responds proportionately to the devotion of his devotee. So it wasn't just that Uttara was basically engaged in a life of sense gratification and then she's also praying to the Lord. No. Ananya Vishaya. Ananya Vishaya means that they had no other interest than Krishna. They were fully sold out, fully surrendered to Krishna. And so Krishna fully reciprocated with the Pandavas. And he preferred to continue as Bhakta Vatsal than be a worldly moralist who never breaks his vow. So then it says that he covered the embryo with his personal energy, protected the child. He's already within everyone, and he was able to protect the fetus. And the brahmastra released by Ashwatthama was checked. Krishna at once counteracted it. Arjuna is the most expert military man, but still Krishna's on another level entirely. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the sutta said to the Brahmins that nothing all that wonderful in this, because he maintains and creates and destroys everything. So to knock out a brahmastra is small stuff for him. So now the child has been saved, and now Krishna is ready to leave. He was all ready to leave, and he interrupted his departure for this work. So now he's going to head off for Dwarka. And it's at this point that Kunti begins her prayers to the Lord. Notable prayers. And in the purports in this section, Srila Prabhupada, they're particularly vivid and expressive and poetic and devotional purports. If you read the purports in this section, they're particularly sweet and enlightening. So there's also a recording of Srila Prabhupada chanting these prayers. I think you've probably all heard that recording. Have you all heard that recording? There's a recording available, those who have the set of the full recordings. It was recorded very early, before I came, so that means 1968 or before. Prabhupada's just playing kartals and chanting. He's chants two sets of prayers. Two recordings are there. One is prayers by Suta Goswami in the beginning of second canto, and the other is these prayers by Queen Kunti. And just Prabhupada playing kartals and chanting. So if you get the opportunity, you can find a copy and listen to Prabhupada chanting these prayers by Kunti. It's interesting also, Prabhupada could have chanted anything from 10th canto, Rasa Panchadhyaya, five chapters of Rasa Lila. But instead Prabhupada's chanting these very significant prayers by Kunti Devi. So it began, Namashe Purusham Twajyam Ishuram Prakate Param Alaksham Sarvabhutanam Antar Bihiravastitam. You're within everything, you're without, outside everything, and you're the original personality of Godhead, Adya Govindamadi Purusham. And still you're, although you're inside and outside of everything, still you're invisible to everyone because of the curtain of Maya. And it's interesting, this is a piece of editorial stuff. For those, anyone have a first edition of Bhagavad Gita? You do on your laptop. Look up Yogamaya Samavrata, that verse, in the old edition. In the old edition of Bhagavad Gita as it is, in the purport to that verse, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya, Yogamaya Samavrata, Prabhupada cites, because it's Yogamaya Samavrata, uncovered by Yogamaya, so Prabhupada cites this cites the prayers of Queen Kunti. And the verse cited, the number given, is 1818, where actually there's no mention of any covering of Maya. As you see, the covering of Maya, or as you will see, Maya Javana Gachchanan, the Maya covering is mentioned in text 19. You found it? Slow folio searcher.
I'm not expecting.
Ah. Whoa.
It's broken.
Look at that. It's broken and you've got splotches too. That's good. It's a sadhu's computer. Okay. Creepers, creepers. You've got an arrow that's hard to see. You can make it bigger, you know.
Bigger?
You can make this pointer bigger. It's way bigger.
I'm looking brighter.
Oh, well, that'll help too, yeah. Now let's see. Oh, I see. What is going on with your thing? I should find this here. How come I can't find that Bhagavad Gita? Do you have something checked here?
No, this is, I think Krishna Prabhupada, he did something in it.
Looks like he did something to it.
This is not my computer.
Nice setup. It's hardly worth it. The point's not that big a point. Give it one more try. Like this too. Why do I feel a pinky? That makes sense. Oh, of course, son of Kunti. Okay, 7:25. This whole thing is not really worth it, but we'll do it anyway at this point. Early edition books, essays. No, this is what I want. Bhagavad Gita. 7:25. Okay, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya Yoga Maya Samabhata. Yeah, there. So in the first edition, it's quoted in the prayers of Kunti in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1:8:18. It is said that the Lord is covered by the curtain of Yoga Maya, and thus ordinary people cannot understand him. So as you'll see, it's, if you look at your book, it's not 1:8:18, it's 1:8:19. So that's the first error. But here's the next thing. It's said that thus ordinary people cannot understand him. Kunti prays, "O my Lord, you are the maintainer of the entire universe, and devotional service to you is the highest religious principle. Therefore, I pray that you will also maintain me. Your transcendental form is covered by the Yoga Maya. The Brahmajyoti is the covering of the internal potency. May you kindly remove this glowing effulgence that impedes my seeing your Satchidananda Vigraha, your eternal form of bliss and knowledge." Does that match verse 18? Does it match verse 19? Does it match any other verse you know? Ishopanishad. Hiranmayena patrena satyasya pihitam mukham tatvam pushana pavranu satya dharmaya drishtaye. What happened was that the editor skipped something and scratched out that Sanskrit verse and patched things up. I mean, this was back in the old days, so they didn't quite weren't familiar with all these things. So he wound up having Kunti offer this prayer from Ishopanishad. And today we have people who will swear that if you do anything about that, you're committing an offense to Srila Prabhupada. Anyway, the offenders have changed it, so now it reads this way. In the prayers of Kunti in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1:8:19, it is said that the Lord is covered by the curtain of Yoga Maya, and thus ordinary people cannot understand him. This Yoga Maya curtain is also confirmed in the Ishopanishad, Mantra 15, in which the devotee prays, Hiranmayena Patrena, and so on. It's all actually clear from the manuscript, but we, as I saw from a recent item, manuscripts also, we don't look at the manuscripts anymore. We just look at the original book, and if we see that they've changed it, we know that they've been disobeying Prabhupada. If it was good enough for Prabhupada, it's good enough for me. Excuse me? Whatever it is, the whole thing, as you can see, is based on some pretty strange ideas. Prabhupada would be so displeased if we changed his book so that Kunti wasn't offering prayers from Isha-Upanishad anymore. In the words of the sages, go figure. Okay. Enough of that little excursion. In the next verse, indeed, Kunti says, Maya javani kachchannam agyad hokshajam avyayam nalakshase mudhadrasha nato natyadharo yata. That because of the covering of yoga maya, naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavita, he's not manifest to everyone. He's covered from the foolish observers who rely on their own sense perception. He's just like an actor dressed as a play, as an actor on the stage who's not recognized. Your cousin is playing Hamlet, and you don't even recognize him because of the clothing and the makeup and everything, and because he's acting like Hamlet. So Krishna also acts like an ordinary human being, even though he's the supreme personality of Godhead. And the fools, mudhadrisham, those who have dull vision, don't get it. And Prabhupada has a very nice purport where he talks about this. He very nicely describes the transcendental pastimes of the Lord and explains how the Lord is accepted by all authorities. And then he says, and yet there is a class of men with demonic mentality who are always reluctant to accept the Lord as the supreme absolute truth. And he gives two reasons. One is, due to their poor, well, two reasons, three reasons, and others coming up. First, partially due to their poor fund of knowledge. They're uninformed. And partially due to their stubborn obstinacy, which results from various misdeeds in the past and present. Because of their sinful activities, they can't get it because they're arrogant. They're obstinate. They just are, Prabhupada said, causelessly unwilling to surrender to Krishna or to accept Krishna. So partly a poor fund of knowledge and partly just damn obstinacy. And then Prabhupada gives another reason, another reason, that they depend more on their imperfect senses. And the Lord can't be realized by imperfect senses. They want to know everything by their experimental knowledge, but that's not possible. You can't understand Krishna by experimental knowledge. He can only be known by devotional service. And then he says that bowing down to the Lord and offering submission to the Lord will be more helpful than the method of mental speculation. And therefore, temples, churches, mosques, they're good. He says, but the fools also, they're against that. Why should there be temples? Why should there be mosques? Why should there be deities? But these things will help us more than your scientific, so-called scientific method. Any points here so far? Yes. Causelessly unwilling. Prabhupada said the problem is causeless unwillingness to serve Krishna. No good reason. They're just stubborn, obstinate, and Prabhupada says it's because of their past misdeeds. Duskritana mudha. Duskriti means those who've got a background of nasty activities. Tata paramahamsanam muninam amalatmanam bhakti yoga vidhanartam katam pashyema histriya. So now she presents that he's very difficult to know by even by the advanced transcendentalists, the great philosophers, munis, or mental speculators, those who can discriminate nicely between matter and spirit. Yes, there was something?
Yes, just a question of methodology. What do you think of this book called Prayers of Queen Kunti? Is it important for us to read it?
Prayers of Queen Kunti? The Prayers of Queen Kunti book is very good. Yeah. So it consists of this chapter plus lectures from Prabhupada on the topic.
It's all mixed.
Excuse me?
It's all mixed. No?
Yeah, well, there's a format. It's Bhagavatam verse, Bhagavatam purport, and then Prabhupada's lectures on Kunti's prayers. So that's a very good book. I believe, was it published during Prabhupada's time? No, right after. It was published shortly after Prabhupada's disappearance, on the same model as the Kapildev book, which Prabhupada was very keen for us to publish, Teachings of Lord Kapildev, son of Devahuti. So using the same format, this Teachings of Queen Kunti was published. So, good book. So Prabhupada comments that even being the greatest speculator is not the qualification for knowing Krishna, but katam pashyema histriha, she says, well, you know, when they can't understand you, what to speak of women like me? But Prabhupada says that there's a good quality to women, and that is that they tend to accept the supremacy of the Lord. They tend to be to offer respect to the Lord without speculating over the matter so much. So Prabhupada points out when there's some religious function, women turn out in greater numbers. So this is this simplicity, Prabhupada said, is more effective than showy, insincere religious fervor. Anything about that? Okay. Prabhupada wasn't all bad. Yes. Generally, Prabhupada explained someplace that's a psychological, psychologically fit way to have it, because the women would be more afflicted by the death of their husbands, their sons, their fathers. So they were given the front place. The men would be more stoical and so on. So the women were given the front.
And if someone were to ask me why God allowed animals to be killed, how should I answer?
It was done in such a way that the animal would be promoted to a higher status of life. there's a Gomedha Yajna in which a cow was killed, but by the power of mantras, the cow would be brought back to life. It was a sort of test for the mantras, that the mantras are working properly or being recited properly because the cow has been brought back to life. So in this Ashwamedha Yajna also, the horse was promoted to a higher status. And it wasn't just, you know, they go out there and kill off a few hundred horses or a few thousand horses, pack them up and ship them. It was a great ceremony in which the horse was sacrificed. It would attain a higher destination, and so many other things were done. If they ask you, why did he allow the killing of horses, ask them, you know, why so many cows? You know, if you're so upset about the poor horsey, but meanwhile you'll eat any damn thing that crawls or walks. So it was a different thing. It wasn't just animal slaughter. Okay, something else? Yes. Avyayam, irreproachable. It's an interesting use of irreproachable. Avyaya usually means inexhaustible. I'm not quite sure what Prabhupada means here by irreproachable. Usually reproach, as you've said, means kind of criticism or insult or castigation or something like that. How does he gloss it here? Let's see. We have these things falling right and left. He talks about it hokshaja, but he doesn't talk about avyaya. So I don't know precisely what he had in mind. Why irreproachable? I really don't know. Adhokshaja and avyaya. Irreproachable. He doesn't comment on it. The usual meaning of avyaya is inexhaustible. Vyaya means exhaustion or depletion. So I don't know. How's that? Something else. Okay. Yes? Was that? No, it's just a pen in the air. Okay. Where are we now? Yeah. Right. So after he's been, when is this released? Is it after he's been punished by Arjuna, or is it before? Good question. I don't know. It's presented afterwards, but as we know in Srimad Bhagavatam, chronology doesn't always rule. I suppose you might have to consult Mahabharata, but then again, sometimes Mahabharata and Bhagavatam are not in agreement. Anyone know anything more about it? Yeah? Therefore, it's not chronological, because Krishna didn't come back to see Bhishma Dev.
No,
excuse me?
No,
Yeah.
Ah,
right. Correct. Right.
Yes.
Well, they have to do all this first because there's all these dead bodies. You've got a whole battlefield full of corpses. And 640 million dead people there. So before the Department of Public Health steps in, you've got to cremate all those bodies. And Bhishma Dev is outliving them. It's quite a scene, you know. Everything else is going on, and the war is being fought, and then the bodies are being buried, and through all this, Bhishma Dev is out there in a corner of the battlefield, lying on this bed of arrows, waiting for it really all to be over, and waiting for the outcome of the entire business. Okay. Yes. Jewel and his hair, yeah. Well, that's the question, whether it was, in which order this was done. It's really? It seems like that. There's no indication that it's otherwise, yes. No. The chakra is not to kill Ashwatthama, it's to protect Parikshit. Yeah, he's covering her, but let's see what it says here. Let's see what it says. Antastha sarvabhutana matma yogeshuro harihi swamaya vrinod garbham vairatya guru tantave. Well, it doesn't specifically say that he did it that way, but yes, it does. He covered from within, but then it also says that he did it from without. He took up his Sudarshan chakra to protect them. Well, there can be... I'll speculate. How's that? You want to have some speculation today, right? But one thing... Oh, Avyaya. Huh? Ah. So you're not diminished. Generally, if we associate with a dog, you know, then we become dirty, our position is diminished. If we approach, you know, if you're a respectable person, but you've got a friend who's in the mafia, and you're always seen with this guy, then your position goes down. You know, Frank Sinatra or something, he was, you know, big famous guy, but he's always had like a mafioso for a buddy. So people wondered about this guy. So if you want to keep your reputation, you avoid the association of lower class people and so on. So someone may say, well, Kunti's a woman and by association with women. But then Vrishnath Chakravarti Thakur's comments, Avyaya, you're never diminished by anything. So you can associate with anyone and not be brought down. So in that sense, this avyaya word comes into play. Now, what were we looking at before we went in that direction? Yeah. One thought is that externally, Krishna took up his Sudarshan to protect her, but then he did the job from within. The show is from without, but the job is actually done from within by his portion as Paramatma. No, Ashwatthama doesn't get killed at all. No, Ashwatthama, he's one of the people who just go on living and living. He lives till the end of the universe, I think. He's still with us. Lucky us. So he doesn't get killed here. He gets as good as killed, because Arjuna cuts off his hair and his jewel, so that's practically worse than death. But death isn't visited upon him.
Huh?
Yeah.
I think they also told you five Pandavas before in Mahabharata when they took the Dhamastra. I think they took the Dhamastra to the Pandavas.
Yeah, it seems to indicate that Krishna was also protecting the Pandavas. So whether he protected the Pandavas with the Sudarshan and the baby by his personal energy, but elsewhere I think it is mentioned that the Sudarshan was there circling and protecting the child. So exactly how it goes, I'm not sure. But there is an explanation. Maybe it's with Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur, I don't know. Okay. Anything else before we move on? Yes. It seems, as far as I understand, from seeing the Mahabharata movie, and from a little bit of reading, that he had a jewel that was like a net, as Karna had armor and earrings and so on that he was born with, it seems that this Ashwatthama was born with a jewel. And it was that jewel that was cut off. Not, I also thought at first that, well, if he cut off his hair, the jewel must have been in his hair, and but it doesn't seem to be like that. He had a jewel, so the jewel was cut off, and his hair was cut off. Oh, it's a big insult. Yeah. Yeah. Instead of cutting off your head, if they just, like, shave you up and throw you back, it's a big insult for a Kshatriya. And worse than death, you know, you could have killed me, that would have been honorable, but instead you insult me. So to cut off his hair, and you've seen the pictures how they had Well, Rukmi, his hair was cut off in patches. That was really, really an insult. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That means sambhavitasya chakirtir maranad itirichyate. For one who's dishonored, that's worse than death. Especially for Dhruva Maharaj, we were reading last week in the other class, how his sense of prestige was so strong. He was insulted by his stepmother, and for that he left home and went off to the forest and did tapasya and wanted to have a kingdom better than his grandfather's. And Narad Muni says, just see the sense of prestige that these kshatriyas have, we'd say ego that they have. So, you know, I am the king of such and such place. You know, they had such a sense of being macho, honorable, warriors. And then to be tied up like a dog and have your hair cut off and all of that, it's just worse than death. That was the idea. For a kshatriya, to be insulted like that, worse than death. Okay. So now Kunti says, Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nandagopa Kumaraya Govindaya namo namah. The offering prayers to Krishna as the son of Vasudev, as the son of Devaki, as the child of Nanda Maharaj, and as the reservoir of pleasure for the cows and the senses. And again, here the purports are very beautiful, and we can only touch upon them. But the Prabhupada says that he was kind to Vasudev and Devaki, but he was still more gave still greater good fortune to Nanda Yashoda. Vasudev and therefore Kunti, who's the sister of Vasudev, were able to have this intimate family relationship with Krishna, but they knew that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in the case of Nanda Yashoda, they were able to relish Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, which are still sweeter than any others. Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan are sweeter than the pastimes performed by Lord Ramchandra. They're sweeter than the pastimes performed by Krishna himself in Mathura or Hastinapur or Dwarka. They're the most wonderful pastimes. It's 12. We'll just make one more note, and that is that his name, Govinda, indicates that prosperity depends more on the cows and the Brahmins. And Krishna is never satisfied where these Brahminical culture and protection of cows are lacking. Okay, so it is 12, and we can take our 10-minute break, and I'll see you in 10 minutes. We're in a high a falling zone. What are those things? They're pods or maybe turn it into an iPod, you know, where all these